Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So, therefore, Mark Cooper, if we live our own lives, try to live better, try to observe our variation of the golden rule, the politicians aren't going to listen to that.
Well, you're getting to the critical point of how practically could something more spiritually aligned be implemented? And not being a politician myself, it's hard to say how that would happen. The way I've framed it in my own mind is that there are maybe two parallel paths that are interrelated. One is building something new in parallel to our current society that's more in line, and that takes the initiative of people. How that will manifest, I don't know exactly. And then the other, which I think is much less likely, is to try to have more spiritually aligned politicians who can try to change things from the inside. But so far, that has not been successful. So to me, it really rests on, just like the way that science might change, just like everything in society, I do think that the people are going to have to evolve individually, and perhaps there's a critical mass at which point we'll see positive change.
The problem we have now is politicians, first of all, in order to run, and we'll talk about the United States. I don't really know that much about the political antics in other countries as much, where for a politician to get elected to anything beyond a local office, they have to have a lot of money. Mm-hmm. They therefore have to talk to donors who therefore will ask them to perhaps consider certain policies. I heard it said once that the politician, like a member of Congress, may have to spend a huge amount of their time dealing with donors to get the money to run, stay in office. And staying in office is as important or more important than actually doing anything and doing what you're promised. And then you still find situations there where some pretty wacky people get into public office, people that you would think if they went to a psychiatrist, they'd be declared insane. Or they're criminals. We have an example in New York where we have one member of Congress incoming, and I want to get into Republican versus Democrat versus independent libertarian politics. It's just one person who says he went to a particular school he didn't go to, he went to another school he didn't go to, he had this job which he didn't have, he's Jewish but he's not Jewish, if you get the point. Somebody making up a story about their background, running for public office, and except for a little outcry, there will probably be no consequences. That's why we have troubles. We can't get people in there who are qualified to do what we want them to do. They have to be people who can afford or can find a way to get the money to get in there.
Yeah, it's a very good point. And what I talk about in an end to upside down liberty is that we're not hiring the government in the same way that we hire a traditional service provider. And therefore, the government and the politicians don't have the same financial incentive that a normal service provider has. Because if you're a service provider doing a bad job, then the customer can hire someone else. The one who's doing a bad job could go out of business, for example, or they might financially struggle. With government collects taxation money regardless of its performance, and it can effectively print money through central banks. So it has this financial resource regardless of performance. And that's one of the arguments for this more voluntarist society where people are picking the things explicitly that they want rather than having those things imposed on them without their explicit consent.
But there have to be common services. And this is where we get into the libertarian point of view,
right,
that I think you're expressing. There have to be,
yes,
common services like police, fire. There have to be common services like education, because not everybody can afford to pay the best private school. Common services that deal with people of different income classes and their needs. There have to be roads. There have to be bridges. There therefore has to be a governing body to manage this. The problem is not that we have the governing bodies, it's to make them run more efficiently and make them more responsive to individual people. I don't think we can give all that up. It's just not going to work. It may work on an individual level in certain areas, but it's not going to work on a nationwide level. It has to have, as I say, a commons, services that everybody expects. You shouldn't have to have enough money to get the fire department to come to your house to put out the fire. The point is everybody's paying for it, and then having taxes based on how much you can afford to pay, well, that kind of makes sense. You got to have money to do that. I mean, if there was no money system, let's argue against that. There's no money system. It's like the 23rd century and Captain Kirk. He didn't have enough money to pay for the pizza because there's no money in the 23rd century in Star Trek IV, The Voyage Home. So therefore, there's no financial incentive to do something. You do the right thing. You provide the services that everybody needs, a way for people to decide what services they want, and you go for it. Today, it's greed. And greed is not always good.
No, I agree. In the book, I talk about some of the theoretical economists who talk about how the things you described could be potentially privatized in the future where it would still work. But ultimately, you would run into this problem where certain people might not have as much. They might not have access to certain things, and that is problematic. So the argument that I make in the book is not just a political argument. I call it a metaphysical political philosophy, where it's a two-by-two matrix, basically. You have two axes. One is the political, where it's like this pure voluntarist society versus the other end of the spectrum, which is the state running everything. And then the other axis is scientific materialism, you know, atheism, things like that. And then at the top would be non-duality, one universal consciousness. And that gives you four quadrants. And what I argue is we need to move toward the spiritual and the voluntary quadrant. I call it non-dual voluntarism, where non-dual is the spiritual aspect, where people have this metaphysical outlook and the movement away from the traditional state together.
Therefore, form a new state?
No, that it would be a non-state, but the metaphysics that people would be adhering to would be much more charitable.
Right, but how do you get the roads and bridges built?
Those can be done by private companies. It's just human beings providing a service.
The difference is with private companies is that they expect to earn a profit from their work. Therefore, they're going to orient the services they provide to where they can make the most money. So those who do not have as much money, and we can't always blame them for it, can't get the services because there is no incentive. The reason you have public commons is that there should not be a financial incentive to provide a service. You shouldn't have to be rich to get the policeman to come in 10 minutes. If the person who has the money gets them in 10 minutes, the person who doesn't waits 3 hours?
Well, I mean, the flip side of it is, first of all, we're dealing with things that are imperfect on all sides. But in the current structure, we don't have a financial incentive for these services to be provided properly or efficiently, because you could have police in one area of the city when they're needed in another area, they're not allocated properly. And because they don't go out of business, regardless of performance, they can continue to do poorly, whether it's police or other structures. So they lack that financial incentive.
Well, you can give them a bonus for doing the right thing.
I mean, you could, but that's not how it's done currently. Where, let's say, the education system, this is one of the arguments I've heard, is that if the education system is done poorly, that's an argument for government to say, well, actually, we need more money. We need more funding because it's being done poorly. When in a marketplace, if you do poorly, you're not going to get paid.
Well, if you want to get a raise, you have to do good. There has to be a qualitative judgment, whether you're making a profit or not. There has to be a way to incentivize people to do the best they can. And yes, to put them in positions based on that. That doesn't mean you give up the current government system. You can make it more efficient. And it also means that it doesn't mean that you cannot give people bonuses or incentives. You know, it's just like a car salesman. We have some car dealers where they have a flat rate and the salespeople earn a salary. But if the group as a whole, all the salespeople pick up extra sales, they get a bonus based on what everybody contributes. I mean, it's an interesting argument. We can go on forever with it and maybe not get resolved. And it doesn't connect us to the universal consciousness, because I can't imagine that the universal consciousness gives a whit about what we do about the roads and the bridges and the bribery and faking your resume and all that stuff. If you're a good person, I guess we should care about that. The rest, we can argue forever and ever and never resolve anything, because obviously we haven't resolved anything. That's why this whole world is as screwed up as it is. If I was E.T., I would not come here. Okay, Mark, Gene, and Tim, you're in.
The Paracast.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Tehibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
One in three adults has prediabetes. One in three. That means it could be you, your football buddy. Your football buddy. Or you, your best man. Your worst man. You, your dog walker. Your cat jogger. While one in three adults has prediabetes, with early diagnosis, prediabetes can be reversed. Take the risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Have you ever watched a video on the internet and found yourself waiting for the skip the ad button? The reason this takes a few seconds is because the video delivery companies get to collect impression commission, and the viewer never sees the advertisement. The company still pays full price to run the ad. Does this sound like a scam to you? Is there any wonder why internet ads are so ineffective? For over 100 years, radio has been a proven source for companies' messages. Radio listeners are engaged and want to support the companies that sponsor the shows they're so passionate about. Simple companies like window treatments, security, pillow companies, and more have been able to break away from the big box stores, building multi-million dollar businesses. Find out what radio can do for your business. Call 877-996-4327 or advertise at gcnlive.com. That's advertise at gcnlive.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
This gets us into the political arena, which I didn't really want to go to except for the few minutes there. I want to look at the latest book. This is one that you sent us a copy of. An End to Upside Down Contact, UFOs, Aliens, and Spirits, and Why Their Ongoing Interaction with Human Civilization Matters. The first question I have, Mark Goper, is, are we really being contacted by aliens?
Well, this gets into a definition of alien. What do we mean by alien? And I struggle with this because I'm relying on people's allegations of encounters with intelligences that appear not to be humans, or some would say some of them might be time travelers from the future. I don't know. I like the term non-human intelligence because it's much more all-encompassing. Typically, the term alien is associated with other planets, the beings that came here somehow from another place. And that seems possible in some cases because of all the UFO sightings, and I don't know if we can trust some of the encounters where people say they encounter beings from other places. That's possible. But I do think there are intelligences out there who seem to be interacting with humans, and they seem to be impacting our world. Now, beyond that, there are lots of question marks for me.
When it comes outside, upside down thinking, one of the main aspects in this book, and not upside down thinking, the end of upside down contact, is not only the way our own consciousness exists, but the fact that so much of your book also deals with contacts with non-human intelligence, which raises just all kinds of other issues with people with non-human intelligences. But I suppose the point that I'm trying to make is that, I mean, you know, do you think that since we are dealing with the possibility of a universal consciousness, that these other intelligences are basically just more of us? that was kind of a long way to go around it there. But yeah, I mean, are we just dealing with ourselves looking back at us from a mirror?
Well, this is the crux of the matter, because if we are interconnected, then other beings at some level, regardless of the species, they are us. But the paradox is that we live in an apparent duality where there is a me and a you that seem to be separate at some level of our everyday perception. And therefore, within that level of reality, it does seem possible that there are these other species who are interacting. Now, I don't know how to reconcile this paradox other than it's probably just beyond comprehension that we are both the same as these beings and then not the same at the same time.
Now, Whitley Strieber, he started out thinking that, and naturally so, that he was dealing with extraterrestrials with his abduction experiences. Now, his more recent books has him contemplating the idea that he is dealing, that the term extraterrestrial really has no meaning, that the way that we are currently seeing the universe and everything around us is flawed, and that it's probably works in a much different way than we can think or even consider. So, I mean, how would you tell somebody who is willing to take a different look at how they see things, but you know, you can only go so far?
What I found, especially writing about topics that are challenging paradigms all over the place, is that it cannot be forced on people, and I really try not to force things on people. So what's important to me is that information is accessible for those who want it and that they know it's there. But beyond that, the person has to want to do it. The exception to that is if they have a direct experience, because that seems to change people regardless of whether or not they want it, whether it's an abduction, a UFO sighting, a near-death experience. It just happens to them, a spontaneous awakening. So I don't know. In short, I'm not sure how to really make someone want to wake up to this unless they have the motivation themselves.
Now, obviously, you don't want a near-death experience. But I can think that some people might actually want a UFO abduction to occur. Sure, I'd like to meet those little grays and have a conversation with them.
I have heard people say that, and I've heard other people say that they're too afraid. They don't want to deal with it. And the reports often do seem to be pretty frightening. John Mack, who was a psychiatrist at Harvard, he he said that because these experiences were so frightening, they had the possibility to traumatize people afterwards if they didn't have the right state of mind. But if they did, they could integrate the trauma into a personal betterment and even a spiritual awakening. But the fact is that these were often traumatic experiences people have had. Sometimes they talk about being operated on. They talk about a hybridization program, which I know sounds crazy, the idea that there are part humans, part aliens that are being created through these abductions, but it is a common report.
Well, of course, some people who are abduction researchers claim that they're breeding a hybrid race to ultimately take us over peacefully. Of course, Dr. David Jacobs maintained that. I got the impression our last conference with Kathleen Marden, who used to do UFO abduction investigations for MUFON, that she was oriented that way too. But with Dr. Jacobs, my concern was his hypnotic techniques, that he wasn't interested in whether he was asking leading questions and might be manipulating people to come up with this. But certainly from a practical point of view, if I was ET and wanted to take us over, let's just look at this for a second. How would I do it? Would I do what they did in Independence Day, just destroy everything, terraform the planet, whatever? Or would I do something quietly? And if I have a decades or centuries-long agenda, do it so gradually we would never notice, and putting our operatives, hybrids or not, in places of responsibility would be the way to do it.
Yeah. I find it very difficult to know exactly what's going on, and I do cite the work of Dr. Jacobs in my book, and I also talk about John Mack's perspective on abductions, and he said that this might be a form of an evolutionary insurance program. So this is a much more benevolent take on it, where in case human Earth is no longer able to support human life, at least we would have some of the human genetics sustained through these hybrids. And maybe the answer is that it's both, depending on the species. Now, what you're trying to do, Gene, is I think it's really hard. I've tried this myself, like to try to get into the psychology of these beings. Why I struggle with it is that they seem to be much more advanced than we are, and they seem to have a better understanding of the way reality works. So there might be aspects of natural law or just the way things work that would make them want to do certain things and not do other things that we don't have access to. Like, we don't have an understanding of that.
Mark Gober is joining us. We're talking now about alien abductions and more with Gene and Tim. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Radio? Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream for the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue them up. Okay, 25,000 cheering extras.
Now, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
USA News Update. The salary cap for congressional staffers being raised, the new ceiling for staffers in the House, just more than $212,000 a year. Even though both flu and COVID-19 cases have gone down as of late, healthcare providers are urging caution.
Dr. Jotu Sandhu with Sharpree Steely Medical Group in San Diego says more people could be hospitalized with COVID because they aren't taking the same precautions as the last 2 years.
Most people are not masking up, and so that's predisposing people
to infection.
Dr. Sandu says some of his patients report their recent bout with the flu is much worse than COVID. I'm Jeremy Scott.
A man from Rhode Island arrested last week after TSA agents found parts of a disassembled semi-automatic handgun wrapped in plastic bags and shoved into two jars of creamy Jif peanut butter. Port Authority police confiscated the handgun parts and arrested the man. Corey Myers, USA News.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or injured at work, you have rights and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
I'm Ben Utek. I played high school, college, and pro football, helping my team win the 2006 championship. It was an amazing day, but it can't compare to the joy I feel every day with my loving wife and three beautiful daughters. My football career ended after I suffered my fifth concussion. Did you know that over a million athletes suffer a concussion each year? That includes boys and girls, every age, every type and level of sport. It isn't always clear that a player has had a concussion, so parents, athletes, and coaches need to learn about concussion signs and symptoms. The American Academy of Neurology recommends athletes thought to have a concussion be immediately removed from play and not returned until assessed by a healthcare professional trained in concussion. This isn't just about sports. It's about your brain. When in doubt, sit it out. Learn more at aan.com/concussion. That's aan.com/concussion. A message from the American Academy of Neurology.
This is me, the Merciless. You are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio, exactly according to my plan.
My first edict with when it comes to so-called alien beings that people might encounter is don't believe a word they say. Why should you believe them? What's their agenda? Why would they tell you they're here? Because they're interested in peace and brotherhood when they don't do anything about it except grab a few believers who run around the world and say, E.T. is here and they want peace and brotherhood while people are being murdered indiscriminately in Ukraine. Obviously, E.T. is not very helpful.
Yeah, I struggle with this one as well. How do we know what to believe? And it does seem with this idea of the benevolent space brothers that it can lead to a passivity, that, oh, the saviors are coming, and therefore we don't need to act, and that could be a manipulation, certainly. But I'm also open to the fact that there could be benevolence out there that does want to help in some way. One of the things I talk about in my book, and I don't know how we'd ever validate this, but some of the remote viewers at the Far Sight Institute, which is run by Dr. Courtney Brown, Emory professor, he has often encountered what he calls a galactic federation. And when I say he, I mean his remote viewers. When they're remote viewing different projects, alien beings seem to show up. Even if they're looking at something archaeological, he says that he finds that there were aliens or non-human intelligences involved. So with regard to this quote-unquote galactic federation, his view is that there are benevolent beings and they want to help Earth, but they're only able to intervene so much because they need us to evolve on our own. At least that's the explanation given. I don't know how to verify that, but that could be an explanation that's there, that there's a limit in terms of how much they can actually intervene, even if they have our best interests at heart.
But we've heard these same kind of stories for centuries from channelers or even just kids playing with Ouija boards. This other intelligence coming through that doesn't appear to have any earthly origins. So I mean, we're not dealing with a new phenomena here yet.
you know, because of the time that goes by between these cases, people don't realize that they seem to be channeling the same kind of information.
It is interesting that you can correlate the information that comes through from various channelers who are claiming to channel different beings. Some of them claim to be aliens. Some are interdimensional spirits. And there is like an overlap, if you want to call it like a Venn diagram. There's an overlap in the circles, I found, in terms of the way they describe the nature of reality. Now, the skeptic might say, well, these beings are so advanced. Couldn't they just be tricksters who are coordinating some kind of propaganda to give a false perception of how things are and metaphysically? I don't know.
But considering the same kind of messages has been coming down to us, you know, for quite a long time. Well, I mean, Gene, you probably, you know, like Gene Roddenberry was involved in kind of a similar situation with, gosh, what was it? The Nine, I think, was what this alleged extraterrestrial group called themselves. So, you know, so again, I mean, we get the same kind of stories. Maybe the faces appear to be different, but same stories.
Right. And I do think I find that compelling as well. And then there's the other part of me that in my book, Into Upside Down Living, when I talk about spiritual awakening, I have a chapter on cautions. And I have a section on channeling where a woman tells about how she was allowing these channeled beings to give her advice in life. And in one instance, they told her to quit her job, and she ended up taking their advice even though she wasn't sure it was the right decision, and it turned out to be a horrible decision. And she claims the beings then started laughing and said, you should kill yourself, or something like that. So there can be these trickster entities that exist, and that's not to say that all of them are, but I think we need to have that discernment and the awareness that we're not always sure.
Why not even think that they possibly all are? That all these entities we are in contact with are tricksters. They're pulling the wool over our eyes. They have a hidden agenda. Why take any of them seriously as benevolent creatures?
Yeah, I know there are people who have that perspective. There are some miracle healings that people point to where they take that as an incontrovertibly benevolent encounter. They're healed of some long-term ailment. Now, Dr. Jacobs, who has a darker take on all of this, his argument is that it's more about keeping the specimens alive rather than doing something benevolent when there's a healing that takes place. But Gene, you raise a good point. It's if I try to think about how I would explain to a skeptic one way or the other, it's just difficult to validate because they could be tricksters.
Obviously, also, it's not something you can duplicate. You can't tell the skeptic, okay, 9 o'clock tomorrow night, they're going to kidnap you, put you aboard a spaceship, take genetic tests. Can't be done. If it can be, don't do it to me. Can't be done, so that's why the reasons that people are skeptical about things like this. It happens to people, they report it. There may be real causes to it, but the skeptic will say, show me.
Reminding me of a quote that I mentioned in my book from Carey Mullis, who's a Nobel Prize winner. He alleges that he encountered a glowing raccoon in the woods and then had missing time and a missing flashlight. And he says, look, I can't prove this to people. I can't put it into a lab. It's an anecdote, but it happened.
Well, also, if you look at the number of people who report these experiences and you look at the commonalities, and there's one factor that we don't discuss too much, and this is something Kathleen Martin has said, there is, quote unquote, a fact, something that's typical of abductions that have or seem to have a base of fact, and if that's something that's brought forth by the abductee, they will take it seriously because they keep the fact, the test factor, secretive.
Yeah, I think this just raises the broader point that we're dealing with something very advanced. And we're trying to understand, going back to my previous analogy of Flatland, we're in this two-dimensional world trying to understand the sphere by looking at the circle. And I feel like we're going to miss things naturally.
Well, unless we get beyond that. And the problem is here is if you have a group of people who believe that abductions or contacts with Nordic aliens are a certain way, how are you going to persuade them?
That's a good question. I have found that people are they have strong beliefs in this area, especially if they've had a direct experience, that it is that way. And that happens with near-death experiences, too, where they will get a message and they believe one thing about reality, but it might actually contradict another person's experience.
The thing is, of course, if you get this point of view from a perceived supernatural being, I think most people would take it seriously. Well, they're so advanced. They must be telling me the truth.
Yes. Dr. David Hawkins, a spiritual teacher, he always warned about the seduction of glamorous phenomena. And I think that's relevant here, that there is a glamour associated with these encounters, these beings who appear to be so grand, even with channeling. Channeling is a very extreme phenomenon, to see someone maybe have bodily gyrations and change their voice. But that, as you're alluding to, Gene, doesn't imply that they are benevolent or that we should trust everything that they're telling us.
Kind of reminds me of the TV show V. It's about this race of aliens that comes here and pretends to be our friends. Very, very attractive people. It turns out they're evil reptilians, and they want to either feed on us or at least enslave us.
I haven't seen that, but I've heard people with similar theories.
Well, the TV show, actually there were two TV shows, early 2000s and later on, with the same basic concept done in different ways. In the second show, you met a number of aliens who did not want to enslave Earthlings and wanted to work with us, and they were, as they say, the rebels. I think that made the show more interesting, more dimensional, but this kind of concept dies pretty quickly. You know, last couple of years, and then it jumps the shark, to use the phrase in the TV industry, and it kind of loses its creativity, or the audience goes away, and there it goes. Two attempts to produce V. Maybe 10 years from now, somebody will say, I'll try to do it and see if I can do it better. But it's a good concept. It's not the only time that we've had possibly benevolent aliens coming here, and they really are meant to do us harm, which again is kind of like Dr. Jacobs suggests. We've got more with Mark and Gene and Tim. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience, so I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for longevity for over 17 years, since before it was longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have longevity.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now. For prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
This is Robert Hastings, author of UFOs and Nukes, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
I want to let you listeners know that Mark Gober will also return for After the Paracast, our premium show for subscribers to our Paracast Plus streaming service. Paracast Plus streaming service. Check the Paracast.plus for more info. Mark, we're talking with you, of course, about your book, An End to Upside Down Contact, UFOs, Aliens, and Spirits, and Why Their Ongoing Interaction with Human Civilization Matters. Now, so far when we've had these interactions, they've been among scattered groups of people, except for seeing UFOs. A lot of people do. There also seems to be a long history of UFOs, as you know. You have, for example, a section in your chapter 3, UFO History and Cover-Ups, called Ancient Cases. How far back do you go?
Depending on who you ask, some of the biblical stories could be considered encounters with advanced beings. So ancient mythologies are potentially examples, if you want to take them literally, that people were experiencing advanced beings. So this could be going really, really far back. But in terms of ancient artwork, for example, where people are perhaps depicting what appear to be flying saucers or alien beings, that can go back to 20,000 years ago.
But the UFO phenomena, I think a lot of people would think would be separate from, you know, the conversations that we've been, you know, having today, you know, especially those who take the nuts and bolts extraterrestrial hypothesis in mind. So, I mean, you know, why would you think that UFOs and accompanying phenomena should also be considered in this book and other similar books that you've written?
My approach with the book An End to Upside Down Contact, mm-hmm. and the reason I called it An End to Upside Down Contact, is that I think there's a potential recontextualization of contact that will help us think about this stuff. So I think about contact with non-human intelligences in all forms. And I break it up in the book in two ways. I say there's non-UFO related contact and then contact that's related to UFOs. So the non-UFO contact experiences would be things like encounters in a near-death experience state where there's a being of light, or in psychedelics, for example. People, when they've taken DMT, they often report encounters with all sorts of species of beings. And interestingly, it correlates with what people report in alien abductions when they're not on DMT, which stands for dimethyltryptamine. Psychic channeling is another example where people appear to be having contact. There's a whole range of phenomena, and those don't explicitly deal with UFOs. But there is another category that a lot of people talk about of actual crafts, and that's the physical structure that people either see or maybe they're on board somehow through an abduction experience. Also, another important point here for me in studying all this stuff is that the nuts and bolts aspect, the physical aspects of this, it's real, but there is a metaphysical aspect that appears to exist, that some of these experiences might not be happening in a physical way that we typically think about it, where the person's consciousness might be what's traveling and having experiences with these non-human intelligences.
Throughout this book and your other books, I mean, you cite just really excellent examples of research that has been done, published, peer-reviewed, yet a lot of scientists act surprised and claim that they've never even heard of this, you know, this stuff. What's it going to take to convince science to really, you know, open up and try to take this different look on reality and get beyond the, you know, we're nothing more than a group of cells that just randomly happened in a random universe?
I think this is a big challenge because in my own experience, for example, without having one of these major near-death experiences, it's been an intellectual journey largely. And that takes a lot of time. And to see example after example and being willing to just go into that space and setting aside time to do that, that's what I found for me is required to have a paradigm shift or even acknowledge that there might be something different. What I find is that not everyone wants to do that. It's much more comfortable to keep one's own paradigm. I mean, all this stuff is extremely disorienting. I can say that from personal experience. I had to rethink everything, and I'm still in that process of questioning everything that I used to believe to be true, and that is unsettling.
What's been the response from the public to your books? I mean, you know, you've got a number of them now, each one even more mentally challenging, I think, for people. But, I mean, you know, for me, I read this stuff, and I'm like, yeah, you know, it makes perfect sense to me. I mean, what's been the reaction from others?
Well, Tim, I actually don't hear from all that many people, so it's hard for me to assess how people are taking it. I do interviews like this, and I hear from podcast hosts and some friends, and I do hear from some readers every now and then, but it's hard for me to get a general sense. And then sometimes I'll hear from someone who knows someone who read my book a few years ago and it had a big impact, but I only found out through the third party.
Well, if you were going to kind of sum up all of the books that you have, you know, into one statement, not a statement, but, you know, just to say to somebody who's never heard about your books and your reasoning, what would you say to them?
Well, ultimately what these books are about is trying to understand the nature of reality. Who are we? Why are we here? We're all going about our lives and we have ups and downs that we're living through. And often we do that without even understanding the backdrop of what we're doing here. So that's what I'm aspiring to get to. And all of the books challenge the conventional answers to those very basic questions about who and what we are. And I do it by not only providing logic in some cases or philosophy, but often through existing research that's out there from some very credible people, but it's not mainstream. So I try to summarize lots of research and make it accessible to people who don't have a lot of time.
Now, this would be probably the final question ahead of after the PowerCast. That is, when you wrote your book, An End to Upside Down Contact, did anything you discovered in your research surprise you?
The most surprising thing to me when I sat down to write it is before I sit down to write the book, I sort of know what the book is in my mind. I've got an outline. But I didn't realize the similarities that existed between DMT psychedelic experiences and the alien abductions. That was pretty mind-blowing to me, that you could give someone a psychedelic, and these are people, including the experimenter himself, Rick Strassman from the University of New Mexico. These were people often who didn't know anything about alien abductions, and the reports they were coming back with, their body was in the lab, and their consciousness was going to an abduction-like experience with different species of beings. That there is such an overlap between that and the work of John Mack, for example, and many other abduction researchers.
Hey, Mark, for those interested in following the kind of work you do and the books that you've written, where can they check you out?
My website is the best place to start. It's just my name, Mark Gober, MarkGober.com. And my podcast is also a good place to start. It's an 8-episode series called Where Is My Mind? It's available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and all the major players. And it explores this very fundamental question of, does the brain produce consciousness?
And do you have another book, a fifth book in the offing?
I have one that actually just came out, and it explores the Great Reset, which is the World Economic Forum's vision for society. And I go through what they've stated about it and provide critiques.
Okay. We'll look forward to checking that one out. You can find us on Twitter if you look for the Paracast. Check out the Paracast on Facebook. But remember, Facebook will not allow us to put in the Paracast.com for reasons that are unknown to any normal human. But as Tim will tell you, you can also get a link to conspiracyjournal.com. And I don't know, maybe we both are trying to provide the news that they do not want us to know. Is that right, Tim?
Yes, you said that perfectly, Gene.
Thank you. Send me the check later. You can also check out branded merchandise for the show at theparacast.store or theparacast.shop. We got both domains. Choose the one you want. Goes to the same place where we give you the T-shirts and the throw pillows and the caps with exclusive official Paracast logos. We also offer our streaming service, the Paracast Plus, at theparacast.plus to sign up. We give you this show free of the network ads and the app to the Paracast exclusive podcast, where you never know what's going to happen next. And Mark will be back because there's a lot of stuff we want to talk to him about, and we can only cover just so much. Check out the Paracast.plus, P-L-U-S, the Paracast.plus, for the coupon code UFO20, UFO20. You get a five-year discount on lifetime and five-year subscriptions. 20% discount on five-year and lifetime subscriptions. Mark Gobert, thank you for joining us on the Paracast.
Thank you so much, Gene and Tim. Really enjoyed it.
Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the tax doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-932-5140. 800-932-5140. 800-932-5140. That's 800-932-5140.